As I told you this morning, we had youth camp last week, and then we're having a youth revival next week. What I want to deal with this morning is talk to the young people just for a few minutes. We have got some of the best young people here in our church that I know of. Our kids are good kids. They're not on drugs or they're not doing stupid things. But the reason you have meetings like this and preach like this is to keep it that way. It's like changing the oil in your car. You don't change the oil in your car because the motor's knocking. You do it to keep it from starting knocking. And it's maintenance. And so I want to try to preach to the young people because I love them. I have a heart for the young people. I also have a heart for the old people. But it bothers me when old people say, well, all the preacher wants to do is have youth this and youth that and youth trips and youth camp and youth rallies and youth revivals. He don't do nothing with old people. Well, get off your Geritol bottle and let's do something. Amen. Some of you ain't never done nothing for God, and you ain't going to start now, so I'm going to deal with somebody that wants to do something. Amen. So anyway, if you ain't done nothing by now and you're in your 50s or 60s, ain't no point in getting mad at me for wanting to deal with somebody that does want to do something for God. Besides, people, I never understood why people don't appreciate somebody that's trying to help their kids. I'm trying to help their grandkids. I'm trying to keep your sons from getting a little girl pregnant. I'm trying to keep your daughter from laying in the bed at night and crying, wondering whether to tell you or not, whether or not to tell you she's pregnant, whether to sneak off and get an abortion, or whether to take a bunch of sleeping pills and kill herself. I'm trying to keep your son from getting hooked on meth and throwing his life down the commode. That's all I'm doing. Hey, I don't get a raise for preaching this way. I don't get extra love offering. I don't get no extra money. I don't get a bigger house to live in. I'm trying to help your kids. You ought to thank me. You ought to come up and shake my hand, take me out to dinner, bless God. I don't understand people get mad and upset. Hey, ain't nobody said nothing to me. I'm just telling you that the way people act and the way I've heard people say, well, the preacher just focuses on the youth. He don't want to do nothing with the seniors. You seniors load up. We'll go up to the lake. Brother Heath will let us have the house for a weekend. We'll go up there and you get on the jet skis right up down the lake. Brother Sam tried it. He's still in pain. He don't know if he's a youth or a senior. He's in between. But I'm just saying, I want to try to help them. Within the next 30 minutes while I'm preaching, 29 young people will attempt suicide. 57 young people will run away from home. 14 girls will give birth to babies they don't even know who the daddy is. 22 girls will receive an abortion, and some of them are Christian young girls. 685 teenagers will take some form of narcotic. 188 young people will partake in strong drink. Did you know that 285 children will become victims of broken homes in the next half hour? 288 children will be beaten or otherwise abused by their parents. This is why I want to try to have a church like we got, so that people that come in on the buses, the kids, can come in on the van and on the buses and can come in Grace Baptist Church. At least it's a safe haven. They know the preacher and the deacon and the Sunday school teacher love them and will feed them, and the bus driver's going to care about them. There's a place where somebody's going to love them and care about them. At least there's one place I ain't going to get abused and nobody's going to fondle me and mess with me. Brother, that's exactly why we preach it hard, preach it straight, and cut it close. And rip the hide off people, brother, and preach against sin and tell it like it is. Amen. That's why. Amen. But brother, I want to preach to you today a message entitled The Road to Happiness. Look at Psalm 144. Psalm 144, look at verse number 15. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Now listen to me, young people. You're going to go through life trying to find happiness. Everybody in this world has one thing in common. Everybody wants to be happy. Is that not right? Everybody in the deepest, darkest jungle of Africa to the highest palace in England want to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody's seeking the same thing. Everybody wants to be happy. Did you know that is in the second line, the second phrase in the Declaration of Independence? It says this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Everybody's pursuing happiness. Now young people are pursuing it as well. We pursue it our whole life. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody will say that. They'll say, I just want my kids to be happy. That's all I want. Some people try to live their life through their kids. I believe it was Chris told me the other day, Kelly's husband. He said, you know, it's a shame some people are trying to live their life out through their kid. They're pushing their kid. They're making them play sport. They're making them swim. They're making them play ball. They're trying to live out their athletic desire. Just because they couldn't play ball, they're trying to do it through their kid. I ain't doing that, brother. I'm not going to put that on my kid. But some people try to do it. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to make their happiness through their own child. But brother, listen, really what you ought to do, your desire is you ought to want your child to be happy. And you ought to pursue happiness. And brother, there is an element to that. And there's a recipe to being happy. You don't just automatically wake up one day and have happiness. I'm going to tell you how you can be happy, young people. And those of you that's old people, it'll work for you just as well. And those of you that's already done this, you sit there and holler amen and nod your head. And we'll leave here. I would say before 12 o'clock, but that ain't going to happen because it's 2 minutes till. First thing, young people, listen. Let me say this by way of introduction. Here's what you'll try to do, teenagers. You're at that age where you want to be happy and you think you'll try it in a lot of different ways. Brother Williams, middle-aged. Brother Sam, Brother Kevin, Brother Ted, Brother Heath, myself. Say he's middle-aged. He liked that, didn't he? You're 50, ain't you? That means you're going to live to be 100. But when you're a teenager, you think a little bit different, kids, than adults. And what we're trying to tell you is we're trying to help you. We're like a road map. If you're going somewhere on a trip, you look at a map, and it tells you how to get where you're going. We're not trying to keep you from having fun. We're just trying to tell you this is the best way to go to get there. Amen? And there's a road to happiness. There's a route to get there. You can be happy, but there's a way to get there, and there's a wrong way to try to get there. And what happens is when you're a teenager, you think that you know more than your mom and daddy. Your mom and daddy's in their 40s and 50s, and you think they're stupid, and they're square, and they're not cool, and they don't know anything about being cool. But your mom and daddy was hip and cool a long time before you was born. They just got old and fat and bald-headed and ugly trying to take care of your sorry hind end. Praise the Lord. Preach it, brother. Amen. That's right, brother. But listen to me. I'm trying to tell you. What you think in your mind, well, preacher, you just don't know. If I had lots of money, I'd be happy. If I could go to Star Search, or if I could get on American Idol, or America's Got Talent, if I could win that grand prize and go to Hollywood and get rich, like some of them people, what's some of their names? Taylor Swift. And so that's the only one I know. And I don't know who she is. If I could get rich, but you know what? That won't make you happy. Money will not make you happy. Did you know money will buy you books, but it won't buy you brains? It'll buy you a hospital, but not health. It'll buy you a house, but not a home. It can buy you finery, but not beauty. It can buy you makeup, but not good looks. It can buy you people, but not friends. It can buy you a ticket to anywhere in this world, but it can't buy you a ticket to heaven. Brother, I want to tell you something this morning. Money will not buy you happiness. It's impossible. If it did, there wouldn't be rich people sticking a gun in their mouth and blowing their head off. Now, money is necessary. You have to have it. It's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong to make good money. You ought to pursue a career, and you ought to get a degree in whatever you want to do, and make as much as you can, because it's going to take it. Amen. You think you know what money is. Now, you don't know nothing. Why do you get a job? Why do you get a job? Why do you get a car? You think you want a car. You don't know nothing. Get you a clunker. Really, get you a 75 Oldsmobile. Brother Jeff, am I telling the truth? Get you an old car and get it paid for and drive that thing till it falls apart. Don't go buy you a 2012 Mustang. You're out of your mind. Because if it just misses, it costs $500. Just go get it checked. Just to find out what's wrong with it. And then that computer chip that they plug in is another $5,000. I'm serious, brother. You can't raise the hood. You don't know where the dipstick's at. The dipstick's the one driving it. I'm trying to help you, kids. But your child, you think money will make me happy. It won't. A career will make me happy, but it won't. And you think a relationship will make you happy, but it won't. Listen, if you have the right relationship, once you find happiness, once you find Jesus, it is wonderful, honestly. Listen, I have a right relationship with my wife, and she's the most wonderful woman on this planet. I hope she lives to be 100, because I don't want her to go first. I can't live without her. I'm serious. I don't know what I'm going to do if she dies first. I'm going to be in a mess. I'm telling you. But if you have a relationship without Jesus Christ, it won't make you happy. Here's the key to being happy. Number one, get saved at a young age. Get started out right. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, you need to get saved. Get in, get right with God, and make up your mind you're going to serve God. Amen. Set yourself, set your course toward God. Hey, if you got a boyfriend or a girlfriend, ain't nothing wrong with that. That's normal. Unless you're a boy and you got a boyfriend, then we need to talk. You need to meet me back in my office after church. But I'm just saying, you need to get saved and put God first in your life. Put the Lord Jesus Christ first in your life. That's what you need to do. They say that 79% of all people are saved by the time they're 12 years old. Did you know the older you get, the less chances are that you'll get saved? You need to get saved early. You get saved young. You get saved early on. If you feel the Lord tugging at your heart, you need to run up to the altar and get saved. I think most people here are saved this morning, but I don't know your heart. Could be one of these young people here this morning is not saved. They say at age 25, your chance of getting saved is 1 in 10,000. Man, that's something, ain't it? 25 years old, 1 in 10,000. They say at age 35, the chances you're getting saved is 1 in 50,000. At age 45, it's 1 in 200,000. At age 55, a little bit older than me, is 1 in every 300,000 get saved. Your chances get slimmer and slimmer. So you know what that is? Your heart gets harder and harder and harder. You know how the Lord touches your heart and you just run to the altar and you melt? As you get older, your heart gets tougher and more callous and the Holy Spirit touches you and you just get where it don't even bother you anymore. I'm up here preaching my heart out and you just sit there and you think about that chicken. I'm going to go eat some of that chicken. I wish you'd hurry. Amen? Some of you thinking that now. You keep thinking that and it's going to burn and it's going to make you sick. At age 65, 1 in 500,000. Age 75 and up, 1 in 700,000 get saved. I've been preaching over 30 years and I've seen two men in their 80s get saved. That's about a miracle. A miracle. What are you saying, preacher? Listen, if God's tugging at your heart, you better respond to Him now while you're young, while your heart's tender. Once you get older and you get out and sin and start messing around and fooling around, your heart gets tough and it gets callous. It's harder for God to penetrate that old tough heart of yours. You know I'm telling you the truth. Amen. Secondly, I'll say the road to happiness means to get saved at a young age. And number two, stay away from sin. This will ruin you, kids. Sin will ruin you. Saved, even if you are saved, sin will ruin your life. The Bible said, Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Sin will ruin your life. Why do you think? Well, real preachers preach on it a lot. Now the milky, watered-down sissy preachers that wear lace drawers and wear their wife's underwear, they don't preach on it much. I'm serious. Listen, these preachers preach on that stuff that never preach on sin and never would. They always take kids to youth retreats, but they never talk about sin and never warn them of the dangers of sin. I wonder about that, Brother Sam. That worries me about these preachers, the sissy preachers that take youth to youth trips and never preach on sin. I believe I'd wonder what the sleeping arrangements are, wouldn't you? Amen, brother. I'm telling you, brother, I want you to know something this morning. You need to stay away from sin because it will ruin you. Now listen to me, I'm telling you. The Bible said there's pleasure in sin for a season. That's the hook. It is fun, kids. But preacher, it just feels so right. I know it does. I know it does. That's what hooked me. You're looking at when I almost went down the drain going around like this. Just about down. Brother Sam, same way on drugs. Most people don't make it back. We're just one of the few that happen to make it back. Oh, preacher, you got out and played in sin. You made it back. Yeah, but I'm scarred for life. I'm ruined. I mean, part of my body and my mind is messed up. And listen, I'm just one of the fortunate ones. There's others that never did. I'm just a small percentage that did make it back to the church and made it back in fellowship with God and got right with God and managed to survive. And listen, you just don't know where I could have been had I not got out in sin. Amen. Stay away from sin. It'll ruin you. It'll mess you up. You ever seen people after they've been in sin a while, after they've been on drugs a little while, what it does to them? Pitiful. Lose a lot of weight. Hair starts falling out. They look like almost like cancer patients. But you can tell cancer patients, they look sick. You can tell a cancer patient from a sin patient, can't you? That sin patient looks worse to me. You can tell they've just been rode hard and put up wet. I mean, the devil's just took them and just wrung them out. They say AIDS and venereal disease has increased 800% in the last 20 years. How about that? 800%. You better stay away from sin, kids, if you want to be happy. You better leave that alone. You better leave that smoking and drinking, all that pot smoking, popping pills. You better leave that alone. You better leave that to your so-called friends. Matter of fact, them friends, you better just ditch them. That little old boyfriend that wants to push you a little further than you want to go, you just better go ahead and break up with him. Amen. Boys, that little old girl that's a little bit too friendly and a little bit too pushy, maybe y'all just go ahead and break it off with her because she's going to mess you up and she's going to take you down a road that you're going to be hard to get turned around from. Amen. I'm trying to help you this morning to tell you that sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you can afford to pay. Every preacher in the world can tell you stories of what sin's done to people. I know of people that I went to school with. Some of them's dead. I was looking through my school annual not long ago. We was packing to move. Ran across. I was flipping through there. Most of them people, I don't even remember them. Most of them, because I killed so many brain cells during that time, I don't even know who they were. Amen. Ain't that awful? And some of them I do remember. Some of them said, he got killed in a car wreck. He overdosed. I don't know where he went. He went to prison. He killed a guy. He got killed. Da 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 da. On and on. I don't know where she's at. Oh, yeah, she turned into a prostitute. She's blah, blah, blah. You ever do that? Scary, ain't it? Don't know where she turned at. Don't know whatever happened to him. That's scary, brother. You know what that is? That's sin. And when sin starts, it's like these commercials. You see, you ever see these beer commercials? Man, they look so cool and so much fun. You know, and they show these commercials. You see this horse up on a snow-covered mountain. It's raring up, and it looks so beautiful. But it don't show you. It don't show you on the side of a country road, two cars that's hit head-on, and some teenagers laying on the side of the road, and their brains spilled out. And the police car is trying to find the ID and trying to figure out whose babies them are. Killed on the side of the road, and beer bottles and liquor bottles laying everywhere. And little old 16-year-old girls laying on the side of the road, dead. And it don't show you when the highway patrol walks up and knocks on somebody's door and has to tell them to come down to the morgue. We think we got your little girl down here. Sin don't, see, the devil don't play fair, kids. Amen. It don't take but a split second for sin to mess you up. Amen. Sin will ruin your life. I said get saved at a young age. And number two, stay away from sin. I'm hurrying like I promised. Number three, the road to happiness is to submit to your parents. The sooner you learn that, the happier you're going to be. Just submit to your parents and you'll live. You know what that Bible said? The Bible said in the book of Ephesians, if you'll learn to obey your parents, you'll live to be a ripe old age. Preacher, I won't live to be 100. Just learn to keep your mouth shut and say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, and no, sir. That's the key. You don't have to do this your whole life. And eat grassroots and sassafras your whole life. And carrot juice. Amen? You don't have to eat like a rabbit your whole life. You can eat drink fat back, grease and pork chops your whole life. Just say, yes, sir, no, ma'am, to mom and daddy. Amen, brother. The Bible said, oh, you obey your parents, for this is right. And this is the first commandment with promise. God said He'd give you long life if you'll obey your parents. You'll be happy. And He didn't say just till you get it. Oh, you wait till I'm 18, I'm going to tell mom and daddy where to go, where they can stick it. That ain't what the Bible said. The Bible said, oh, you obey your parents. I ain't found nowhere in the Bible where it says you obey your parents till you move out and then tell them to take a hike. I believe it means obey your parents your whole life. I mean, I believe when you move out, you're on your own. But you know what I'm saying? I believe, you know, as a matter of respect, if your mom or dad calls and says, you know, my TV's tore up, it won't work, how about come over and fix it? Okay, I'll come over and fix it. Obey your parents. That's honor to the Lord. I remember the story. It's a true story. This girl had her 16th birthday, and her daddy bought her a new Trans Am. That's a big mistake to start with, probably. He bought her a new Trans Am, and he told her, and he said, now, he said, whatever you do, don't get none of your friends in the car. Nobody's riding this car but you. She said, okay. And he said, the second rule is no speeding. She said, okay, I promise. So he let her drive to school, first day of school. She went to school, and the rule at school was when you park in the parking lot across the street from school, once you park and get out, across the street to school, you're not allowed to walk back across the street to your car. Once you cross that street to the school, you stay there until the school lets out at 3, then you go get in your car. She got to school, first day of school, her birthday, new Trans Am, walked across the street, all her friends there, and they was all hooting and hollering about her new car. Everybody's flipping out. Let's go look at it. So they crossed the road. Broke rule number one. No crossing the street once you get to school. Oh, gosh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Oh, look at the big eagle on the hood. Let's go for a ride. Her and three of her friends piled in it. They broke rule number two. Jumped in, cranked it up. Just going around the block. They took off. Went around the block. It's a true story. Went up the street. Guess what? Somebody hollered. They broke rule number three. Let's see what it'll do. And she floorboarded it. Back then, them cars would run, brother. She stomped it, opened up that four-barrel boy. It took off. And they come around this curve where they're doing some road work, and they didn't know it, and there's a barricade up, and she hit that barricade and went over an embankment right down onto the interstate. Tractor and trailer hit them, killed all four of them just like that, instantly. You know why that happened? She didn't obey her mom and daddy. That girl would still be living today, probably have a husband and kids and a family of her own. She'd have said, no, my daddy finds out. My daddy found out I put somebody in that car, he'd kill me and take that car and burn it. My daddy found out I let y'all in that car, he'd kill me and y'all too. Amen? That's what my daughter should say. I hope to God she would. She better. Amen? But what I'm trying to tell you, you say, preacher, you trying to scare us? Yeah, if that's what it takes, I'm trying to scare you and tell you the road to happiness to get saved at a young age, stay away from sin, and submit to your parents. If you can't submit to your parents, you'll never get to where you can submit to God. If you can't submit to that man and woman sitting beside you, you'll never submit to somebody you can't see. You'll never get to where you can submit to your college dean or your college professor or your teacher or the school principal or the highway patrol or the judge if you can't submit to your mom and dad. Preacher, you're preaching awful mean. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to help you. That's the road to happiness. If you can get saved at a young age and stay away from sin and submit to your mom and dad, the rest of it's a breeze.